Welcome to Kultur, the show where we tour the different cultures Pierce's population has to offer and discuss what makes each cultural makeup unique. I'm your host, Drew Nakash. It is Wednesday, March 1st, and it is 3:28 p.m. In this first episode, we will be exploring Mexican culture, and joining me today to share her knowledge on the subject is Araceli Ortiz. How are you, Araceli?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Did I say your name correctly?
Yes.
Perfect. So tell me a little bit about yourself. Where were you born?
I was born here.
Where is here?
Here in the USA.
In the USA. In Los Angeles?
California, yes. Always born and raised in the Valley.
Nice. So you were raised here. And how many siblings do you have? Where were they born?
I have four siblings. Well, three siblings. It'd be four with me.
There's four of you.
There's four of us, yes.
I got it.
My oldest sister was born in Mexico. My second oldest sister was born here. And my youngest brother was born here as well.
Okay. So you and two others. So three of you were born here. One was born in Mexico.
Correct.
Great. Where in Mexico?
Zacatecas.
Zacatecas.
Fresnillo, Zacatecas.
Fresnillo, that's the full name.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What does that mean?
Fresnillo? No idea, actually.
Do you know what Zacatecas means?
Zacatecas?
If there is a meaning.
I have no idea. I have to look that up.
Okay. How old are you?
I am going to be 24.
Mm-hmm. And what number sibling are you?
I am the third.
Number three. Okay, so yes. You are in the middle.
In the middle, yes.
Sandwich child.
Best child.
I'm the oldest, so I'm going to...
You have to be the good one.
The model.
Yeah.
When did your parents move here?
My dad came first. He got here in the 90s. He decided to move over here for his family. And then he brought over my mom and my oldest sister.
So he moved here by himself?
By himself first. He already had an uncle here. Well, sorry, his cousin here. So he decided to come over.
Okay. And then he brought your mom over, and then your sister was born here. You were born. It was already a established thing.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he decide to leave Mexico and move to the United States?
Mostly for his growing family. He didn't want the life that he had. So he wanted his family to have something better.
What does that mean? What did he have there?
Well, he grew up really crowded. Small house, a lot of siblings, just one bathroom. but he, just for the better life, a better life of having more opportunities to achieve and their goals.
Was it kind of like an American dream thing, or did he? What were his goals?
It was the American dream, picket fence, the grass and the dog and all that.
So have you ever visited Mexico?
I have. I recently just came back. I was there this past summer.
Was that your first time?
Not my first time. It would be my third time. My first time was when I was 8.
When was your second time?
10.
Okay, and then just this past summer.
And this past summer.
So 8, 10, and 24, or are you 23 right now?
I am 23 right now.
Almost 24.
Almost 24.
Almost 24. So when you visited Mexico, which part specifically did you visit?
Fresnillo, Zacatecas.
Right? All three times?
Yes, all three times. My parents are from there, and all of my family is there.
And is that area known for anything special?
Zacatecas is known for their miners. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of mountains there, so they miners, yeah.
And what are they mining, oil or metal? What is it?
It's a type of metal.
Okay.
I'm not specifically sure which one, but it's a metal.
And your family works in that?
No. Maybe my grandpa, because my grandpa had a lot of jobs as well. I probably did that. I can see him doing that.
At one point, he was probably a miner?
Probably, yeah.
He's not doing that anymore?
No, my grandpa just passed away maybe 3-4 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Okay.
So that area is known for their miners. What's your favorite attraction or thing to do there when you weren't with family?
It's to eat all the food you can, as much as you can.
Is it known for a specific type of food over the rest of Mexico, or is it kind of the same everywhere?
I would say it's... I don't think there's specific food. I don't think they discriminate there.
So everywhere.
Everything, yeah.
The reason I was asking is because, in the United States, in L.A., you have, more hipstery food. In the South, you have, more supposedly deep-fried food.
Mm-hmm.
So I was wondering if there was, a specific area known for a specific dish.
No. We have everything.
Awesome. So why did you go back when you went?
This past summer, Well, I have a daughter now.
So you have a daughter?
I do have a daughter. I wanted my grandma to see her. She has a lot of grandchildren now, so just adding one more into the mix.
How old is she?
She just turned 3.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay, so you wanted your grandma to meet your daughter.
Yes. She is very old now. Well, still young at heart.
Your grandma.
My grandma, not my daughter.
For a second, I was like, wait, 3 years old. Very old. Okay, so what did you feel when you were down there?
It was like a relief. Like, I feel like you can just let go of all the stress being here does to you. School, work, kids, marriage. So just being over there for a while, it just lets you breathe.
And most of your family lives there, or do they live more here?
Most of them are over there. I have one uncle, my dad's brother, who lives here in Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but most of them are all over there.
And they're all in the same city?
All in the same city.
That's convenient. You go home, you see everybody at once.
Mm-hmm.
No traveling from place to place.
No.
So on the point of family, a friend of mine once said he's Mexican too, and he said that he was talking about how many cousins he has, and he said Mexicans feel like the world is underpopulated. It's their God-given duty to fix that problem. Do you agree with that statement?
Kind of.
What do you mean?
No, yes, I do agree with him.
You do?
Yes.
So you think that Mexicans have a lot of family?
Yes, we do. Even if you're not blood related to us, you're going to be our family.
Blood related, how much family do you have?
Here?
In general, your parents' siblings, so aunts, uncles, cousins.
Too many to count. I would need to bar your fingers for that. My dad comes from a family of 8 or 9, mostly all boys, just 2 girls, and my mom from 12. And
wow.
Those are all boys.
9 siblings on your dad's side.
On my dad's side.
And 12 from your mom's side.
From my mom's side.
So you guys with 4, you like are considered the small unit.
Well, most of my dad's actually brothers had actually also 4. Maybe like 2 or 3 that had maybe a little bit 2 more or like 1 more. But we're all just 4s.
That's the average number.
Mm-hmm. And all females.
Nice. Lots of women in the family. So do you think that Mexican culture is considered family-oriented? Is that something that is important?
Yes, very. We like to stay close. Any problems that we have, we always have to run to our family for just guidance and support.
Okay. Are you close to your family? You feel like...
Yes. I can't live without them, actually.
Who do you turn to first? Do you have a problem or you have something good to share? Who do you call?
My sister.
Your sister.
My sister. Her name is Isabel. She's 26. Yeah,
She's older than you.
Yeah, she's older than me.
So she's number 2. You
have number 2.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, and you guys are very close.
Very close. We're like BFFs.
That's so fun. So as somebody who grew up, you grew up here, but you identify very strongly as a Mexican woman. Do you consider yourself more Mexican, more American?
I think I do both. Yeah. I like to keep it equally. I don't feel superior to one specific culture,
mm-hmm.
but I, yeah.
So if someone says Araceli, what do you identify as? What do you say?
I say I'm Mexican-American.
Mexican-American. And you put Mexican first.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
So you grew up with both cultures prevalent in your life. What do you think that the most glaring difference is between Mexican culture and American culture? You know, there's different aspects of culture as far as personal space goes, as far as noise goes, as far as, like, political correctness. Like, Americans are very politically correct. So what do you think the most glaring difference is?
Yeah, we're very rowdy.
Rowdy.
Yes.
So noise
rowdy,
level.
Yes. We like to have parties. And even if it's just 2 or 3 of us, it's a party.
Okay.
And there's food involved.
So the food is what gets you guys going.
Yes. Food just brings us really close together.
So actually every dinner is a...
It's a party.
Nice. Mm-hmm. I want to be part of your family.
Come over. My mom would make you anything you'd like.
Perfect. Wow, I'm coming over. So one of the differences as an outsider that's easiest to point out to in terms of the culture differences is the language. Did you grow up speaking or hearing Spanish?
Yes. Both of my parents always spoke to us in Spanish. I actually had a childhood friend. I was maybe about 5, and she's the one that actually, like, noticed me just speaking Spanish. She's like, hey, why don't you speak in English? And I'm like, I don't know how to. So I feel like I can remember that part, like that day. She thought, like, I'm going to teach you. And I was like, okay.
So you learned English from a childhood friend. She wasn't Mexican, I'm assuming.
She was. Actually, she was Hispanic. I can't really remember from where. Mm-hmm. But yes, she spoke was born. Both.
Oh, she spoke both.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so you grew up speaking it at home. Your parents taught you, or did you learn in school?
The Spanish?
Spanish.
Spanish, my parents, yeah.
Your parents, do they still speak it at home amongst themselves?
Yes, just about my nephews now, they tend to just mix it up as well because they speak mostly English.
So they combine sentences. Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of a sentence they threw out which was like a combination of Spanish and English? Like Spanglish, right?
That's Spanglish. That's our new language for my niece and my nephew. Yes.
You formed a new one. So how fluent are you in the language?
I'm still rough. Like, it's still kind of rough. But growing up, like, even my first time visiting Mexico, like, everybody would make fun of me because I could not speak Spanish.
Is it a matter of practice? Why do you think it is?
I think it's when I went into kindergarten and started school-wise, the language just all English. I even had to, was in ESL to properly read English and understand it. So it was kind of hard transitioning from Spanish to English and then just pure English.
Right. So in terms of Spanish fluency, is it speaking or do you know how to read and write in it as well?
I actually learned how to read and write. Yes. Maybe about when I was 15, I started reading and writing.
So you learned Spanish as a language in high school as well?
Yes, but I didn't learn it from there. I actually had another friend who just spoke pure Spanish. So he started teaching me, started talking to me more in Spanish. And that's where it came from.
Perfect. Are your parents are fluent?
Yes, they are.
That must be nice. You can practice with them at home.
Yes.
Whatever
even
you learn.
They also make fun of me because the wording doesn't come out right. The meaning.
Is that typical? Like making fun of people you love?
Oh,
you...
yes. Everything's a joke to us.
That's good. I mean, so in terms of like having a thick skin or being sensitive?
Oh, no. You have to have a thick skin to be in our family.
Do you think that that's a Mexican trait in terms of the culture?
I think it is. We all have our different sense of humor. Yeah.
Each individual, when you say we all have it, were you talking about your family or?
Well, I think it also depends on like where from Mexico you're from, because it's also different, like the way you talk to certain people, and there's also different accents. So, and what is wrong and what is right for them to say in public.
I can understand that. So is there a word or a phrase you know in Spanish that doesn't have a direct translation into English?
There's many, actually.
Can you try and explain one? I know that sometimes, like, the literal translation is a little awkward sometimes, but try and explain it as best you can.
Trying to think of one.
I speak Hebrew in my family, and so I know that sometimes there are words that, like, I'll try to explain a concept in English, and it just won't.
So one that we, like, say, well, because I worked at a Mexican restaurant, so it's, when we see someone just standing there, it would be like, a llévatela. So a llévatela for us would be like, oh, that's nice, you're just standing around. That's good.
That's the literal translation, or is it a...
No, it's a rough translation.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it means you're just standing around?
Yeah, like, just... What are you doing? You're supposed to be working. Like, come on, let's move it.
Got it. Okay. So how do you say it?
A llévatela.
A llévatela.
Uh-huh.
How do you spell it?
Would be... Sorry.
Oops, sorry. Here, write it down.
It would be A-Y-double-L.
So it's two different words.
Yes. A llévate.
Oh, three words.
So
or two words.
Ay,
llévatela.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice. So that means, like, get going. You're just standing around,
yeah,
not doing anything.
Like, let's get working.
Calling someone out on being lazy?
Yes, yes.
Do you get that on a daily basis?
Not since I started working at Starbucks.
Nice. I meant like, with your family, because said that they laugh around.
Yes, especially if you're just, when we're doing our chores or when we do our chores, that's what it would be.
Got it. Okay, so it's get a move on.
Mm-hmm.
So Can you tell me about, this is a part that we haven't covered yet, about a Mexican holiday that you enjoy celebrating?
It'll be December 12th.
What is that?
That's the day we celebrate the Virgin Mary. It's the day of her birthday. Mm-hmm. Every year we look forward to that day. My dad mostly grew up very religious, my grandmother. So it would be every December 12th that they would celebrate. We build an altar for her the day before, stay up until 12, so that was fun. And then we would sing happy birthday to her. At that night, we would have a prayer, and my mom would make tamales. That's the one time she makes tamales.
Why is it the one time?
They're very difficult to make. She says that it takes too much time. And then when she makes them, like, it'll last like a week.
She makes enough tamales for a
week.
Yes. Wow. Okay. What's the name of the holiday, the one that you just told me about?
El Día de la Virgen.
The Day of the Virgin?
Mm-hmm. The Day of the Virgin Mary.
Okay. And other than making tamales or making the altar, is there anything else that you do? What do you think is special about it?
Well, we have our family come over. We mostly go to my aunt's house for other holidays, so it's that one time of the year when they come over to our house, so we get to, like, show off a little, you know. No, I'm just kidding.
No, they come from Mexico or they come from here?
No, it's mostly just my parents' friends they've known throughout their time here, but like I say, everybody's family.
So everybody comes over to your house?
Yes.
Is that why you like it?
Yes, I do.
And you said you eat tamales. Is there any other food that you eat?
Pozole.
What is that?
Pozole. It's like a, it's maíz. It's corn.
Oh, corn.
Mm-hmm. Corn. And you can make it either from beef or pork. It's like a soup kind of. Very delicious. With some tapatio.
So it's a corn soup with beef in it?
It could be beef or chicken or pork as well.
Oh, man, you're making me hungry. So do you have, you told me what traditions are associated with the holiday. You told me about what foods. Do you have a favorite Mexican food?
I would say mole.
What is that?
Mole is, it's like a thick sauce on pork.
Okay.
Or it could be chicken. But it's like a thick brown sauce. It's made with, like, chocolate, some dried peppers. They're delicious. It's delicious.
It's a chocolate sauce that you put on beef?
Mm-hmm. You put on beef. It has other spices in it, so it's not like super sweet, but you can it's a combination of sweet and spicy.
Sweet and spicy. Is it kind of like I've had Mexican hot chocolate before, which is a little bit spicy and a little bit sweet. Is it anything like that?
No.
What's different about it?
I think that you add a more different spice to it that gives it just a different taste. But you have to try it with some rice on the side.
Not going to lie. It sounds like I don't like sweet and salty together.
Oh, that's right. You just...
Yeah. It's
either you can add just a little bit of chocolate or you can add like a lot of chocolate. So depending on how you want it.
Is it dark chocolate?
No, it's milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate. Mm-hmm. Okay, and you put it all together.
And yeah, you blend it and then just stir it up.
And do you know how to make it?
I don't know how to make it. My mom, that's the one food I have not learned how to make. And so I always have to ask my mom to make it for me.
Well, that's what moms are for,
yes.
Right? That's the best thing. What do you make? What do you know how to make? You said that's the one thing you don't.
Enchiladas?
Enchiladas.
Tacos? I mean, who doesn't know how to make tacos?
Well, like tamales, do you know how to make that? You said that's once a year.
The tamales, yes. But it is a lot of work. It's a lot. You have to be very patient with tamales.
Can you walk me through how you do that?
Well, you have to have your dough. And then you have to have everything on the side. Like, you have to start cooking your sauces. You have to start cooking your meats. So, and then you have to put your the leaves of the... Is it corn leaves? You have to put to get damp because they're pretty hard. You spread out your masa.
What is that?
It's the dough.
Okay.
On your corn leaf. Then you add in the whatever meat you're going to add, the green sauce with chicken or just the cheese and the jalapenos. Wrap it up. Put it in a big tub with some water on the bottom. And you have to let it cook for another 3 hours.
3 hours?
Yes, 3 hours.
Wow.
So you have to be very patient. You have to eat something because then you're going to go crazy waiting for them.
It's slow cooked.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. Okay, and so you said that you help your mom out when you do it.
Yes.
Once a year. Is it like a family thing?
Yes. When we come together and it's like my mom's going to make them like, okay, everybody has to pitch in. Especially just spreading the dough on the leaves takes a while.
That sounds like a process.
It does.
So are you a superstitious person?
Sometimes, and then like sometimes just like, no, it can't be.
Are there any commonly believed Mexican superstitions that you can share with me?
Well, recently my husband actually had told me that our bedroom door had opened and shut by itself. So I freaked out, but I let him know that, you know what, maybe it was a duende. Duendes are little goblins that run around your house. That's what we believe in. We think that there are duendes in your house.
A duendes. Are they like good goblins, bad goblins?
They could be either good or bad, depending on if you leave food for them or not. So they can like steal your shoes, steal that one sock you can't find, like things
so
like
that's what that's we where all my socks went.
Yeah, that's where that's and yep, and that other earring.
The missing things of pairs.
Yes.
So they had to win this down. Now I'll know. Now I know who to blame. I was blaming my dryer, but perfect.
Yes.
So what is one thing that makes you consistently proud of your Mexican culture?
I think we're just hardworking.
Hardworking?
Hardworking. I've always really admired hardworking people, and I've always seen that from my parents and other relatives as well, that it's you have to be hardworking.
In what sense? Like, what's an example that you can give me of that in your family?
Like, my dad, he never calls in sick. He's been sick, but he's always there for work. He has two jobs, night shifts. My mom has two jobs as well. And I see that, how hard they work. And that, I mean, it motivates me to be hardworking as well.
Okay. Tell me one thing that you think most people don't know about Mexican culture that you think they ought to know.
Well, we don't like to keep anything a secret.
Is that a secret, that you don't like keeping things a secret?
We're really out there, and we love to getting to know everybody. I mean, sometimes we can be a little bit ethnocentric. Yes. We like to think that we're superior, but we know we're not. We already know we're not.
So it's part of the jokes where you...
Yeah. But yeah, just we really love getting to know people. And don't be shy to talk to us.
Okay. So my last question is, what about sayings? Like, I know that there are some sayings that happen in other languages that mean one thing. And then when you say it in English, it's like a weird translation. What are some sayings that you know in Spanish? Like commonly used sayings. You know, like in English you say two birds, one stone, right? Where like everybody says that, you all know what it means. Can't think of any?
No. We have so many, I think.
I know that one of the superstitions that I heard of was if your head gets wet, then you have to wash your whole body. You have to wet your whole body. Have you heard of that before?
No, I haven't.
One of my friends told me.
I'm doing it wrong?
Well, she says, like, if it rains and your head gets wet, you're supposed to shower. You have to shower your whole body.
Really?
Have you heard that before?
No.
There's no saying that goes with that?
No.
Well, you haven't heard of it.
No, I haven't.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to thank you for coming on here. That's all the time we have today. So thank you so much for joining our program.
Thank you.
Tune in next week to hear about the intercultural communications class that inspired this show's topic. And the professor that teaches the subject, Jennifer Rosenberg, will be joining me. Thank you for listening to Kultur from kpcradio.com. I'm Shira Nakash.